Hey everybody, this is Tim Schwartz of Gothridge Manor. I'm doing a podcast from my car like usual. I am returning from the post office with a box of gaming stuff that I just bought. I've been kind of laying off buying stuff, but then I kind of really bought a lot this time. A lot of it's pretty affordable and a couple are new games, and I'll let you know why about that too. quick update on my Kickstarter. I'm getting my mojo back with it. It's a strange thing. This is a kind of project that I shouldn't have any problem with. Something I did all the time with usually pretty good speed and quality. And the funny thing is like I had so much done right off the bat for this thing that I thought it was going to be a real quick turnaround. And unfortunately, me getting sick really just jacked everything up. And now what I've found is me getting back into the mojo thing has been so difficult. It's weird. I thought I would just kind of jump back into it and finish things out, and I found myself struggling with that. But I haven't been able to do this with any projects lately. Little side ones for my Patreon here and there, but usually those are just one page. And that's about all I can manage sometimes. And usually those I try to do to kind of loosen up my head to work on Kickstarter. Well, I think I'm working past that now. I mean, I still have my rough weeks. The nice thing is they finally figured out what was wrong with me. I'm not going to go into details. I got my treatment. It's taken a while, but the treatment seemed to have improved my health and that. I still have some things to struggle, but definitely I'm at a different baseline now than I was before, which is so nice, because it was just a struggle just getting up and trying to function and go to a job, for crying out loud. It's always a scary proposition when you're so sick you can't work. And if you can't work, I don't have insurance. And then I end up, losing the stuff because I don't have any money and I don't have insurance, and so it was tough. It was scary there for a while because I didn't know how it was going to play out, but luckily on top of things again, and I am feeling pretty good. All right, guys, next up, let's talk about this OGL. As a small publisher, does it affect me? It does, but I was never a big OGL person to begin with. I understood what it was for. I thought what it stood for was good. But a long time ago, me and Rob were talking about it, and he was telling me about all the pros, and it's like, yeah, Rob, I understand that. But I said, what if they change their mind? And I remember having this conversation. It was during the 4E days, and like the OSR was still in its infancy, and I was really considering about starting to publish. My first one was Knowledge Illuminates, little adventure, and I was going to release it. And he was really suggesting that I release it under the OGL, but I don't feel comfortable publishing it under that. I said, I just don't like. I said, what if they change their mind? He goes, they can't change their mind. And I'm like, why can't they change their mind? And he kept, he was talking about the irrevocable thing. I'm not a legal person. I don't know shit about that. But I just know that some folks, especially Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro in particular, have enough power to make like legal stuff go away. I mean, it doesn't matter what was set down. They can change your mind. So I was just like, I just don't feel comfortable. So I did my own thing. And then I didn't think anything about it because, it's been going on now for, 23 years or 22 years it's been going on. So it's really helped a lot of people kind of live out their dreams in some ways. I know it's definitely helped mine, publishing my own products and putting it out there and, hey, getting paid enough that I can help pay for the package that's next to me. Although this was an expensive package, but I my bubble popped. Like I said, I didn't buy anything for a long time, and then I got on Amazon and kind of went, wah! My click to buy button finger was just like tired by the time I was done with it. But then you have folks like they've been making a living off of they've done such a wonderful job and do such a great job that they're able to make a living off of these products, but they're tied to the OGL, and now that's in jeopardy. And I'm talking to you now from January 21st, 1923. It's a Saturday. It's a rainy day. There's light snow on the ground. So all this OGL stuff has been kind of going on for the past, I think, 3 to 4 weeks, something like that. I've been watching it a little bit. I'm basically on the side or the idea that it doesn't matter what Wizards of the Coast / Hasbro has anything to say. I'm not going to believe anything they have to say. They're a corporation. It's the old saying back in the day. You can't trust corporations. You can only trust people. And Hasbro is a big fucking corporation. And I'm not going to believe anything they say, especially with the mindless dim. What have they been calling them? I forgot what they've been calling them, but you just have these guys that are just, and I get it. Hasbro has to make money. Hasbro has probably been making more money off of fifth edition than any other edition ever, but yet they still want to strangle more money out of it. Get that. I understand that. You want to take a nice jewel that's in your crown, and you want to make it more valuable. Well, what they're doing, it seems to me, is they're just hacking at it. Like they gave it to these people who have had success in the past and shiny gems, and like maybe they've worked on. I'm using this weird analogy. I didn't expect this. They're used to working on emeralds, and they've shined up those emeralds, and they've become very valuable and made these mid-level or already high-valued emeralds even more valuable to them. Well, now they're working on a diamond. Well, they don't know that it's different. It's a different hardness. It's different techniques. There's different ways to do this. I'm making this shit up, guys. I have no idea. This gemology stuff, it's just a weird analogy. I'm sorry. I'm going into weird territory here. But they don't know how to, even though it's a gem, they want to make it more valuable. They're just fucking hacking at it. They don't know what they're doing. They just think, I can do the same thing and the same results are going to happen. No, it's not going to happen the same way. You've got something, you've got a bit, this isn't fucking Monopoly. This isn't Microsoft transaction stuff. This is a game that has been around for 50 years that was built by the fans, by the ones who play them. And folks like me who've been on this ride since, I've been there since 79, so what is that, 44 years, basically. This month, I think, is 44 years that I've been playing Dungeons & Dragons or some variant or role-playing in general. Nobody's going to claim that I've been playing Monopoly for 44 years. Nobody's going to say, well, I've been playing, Fortnite. Not that for 44 years, but, since the inception. Because nobody gives a shit about those ones. Nobody cares. And, in my case and a lot of the older guys, I'm speaking from our point of view at this point, is we've kind of bled for this game. We've had to go through the toxic cultures back in the day where we were the bad people. We were the ones playing a game that was corrupting people's minds and you know, evil. And just socially not acceptable. And, you know, and some of my friends, you know, like I've spoken in the past, got into physical fights and beat up because they wanted to roll dice and play a game and have fun, be heroes. Hasbro doesn't. They don't understand that. They don't have any clue. And then now you have the, you know, the ones that have been playing for a while, like maybe 3rd edition, 4th edition, and then you've still got the newer players that haven't been playing for 10 years, but they still really have connected to the role-playing culture, whether it's been through 5th edition or whatever variant of that, and they've come to identify with that. Hasbro, and I'm using Hasbro because I think Wizards of the Coast itself isn't the problem, and I don't understand the structure of how things work. I think the problem is Hasbro itself, because I'm, you know, it's a bigger corporation, and you know, it just has, like I said, Wizards of the Coast and D&D is just another gem in their mighty crown. But they're working with material, and they've given it to people that they don't understand what it is, they don't understand the history, they don't understand how it works. Could they have used a different approach and got the result they were looking for? Yeah, they could have been, like, amazingly, like, inclusive. That's the thing. They just freaking baffle me with this stuff, because if they would have just taken a beat, maybe talk to folks, and I know they have these surveys out, and I doubt they read them, because I know how surveys work. I've studied psychometrics. I know how the testing works. I know how surveys are, you know, I saw the survey. I saw how it's laid out. And it's a bullshit survey. I seriously doubt anybody's looking at any of this. They probably just have a computer compiling the data and just maybe showing a statistic here and there for what the most popular answers are. And then you have to also remember, people who are filling out these surveys are going to skew probably to an extreme anyways. So usually when you skew to the extreme, depending on how you answer things, they throw out, because they don't, sort of like picking F or A, like if you have a multiple choice question, you just pick A the whole time. Well, it's an invalid entry, so you're out. You know, they throw out those answers. But they could have, the funny thing is they could have taken this, and they're doing this online content, so I know they really want to put D&D online. They want to put a stranglehold on sales for virtual books, move everything towards virtual, even though most of us really enjoy having that hardcover back book in our hands, and we're leafing through it, and we know the pages, and some of the pages are wore out because we flip to them all the time, and we just know our books. We are book people. Role players in general, we are book people. I mean, you got some of those freaks out there that just do PDFs, you weirdos. But what Wizards of the Coast could have done, keep that DMG guild going. I don't see how they're gonna lose anything by having fan created content. But what they could have done, and I don't know if they did this in the past, I'm not sure, but they could have taken a look at who some of the best-selling third parties are and recruited them into Wright, even if it's to bring them onto staff or just independent contractors out. Say, hey, I don't know, Jim, we've seen that you've published a couple things that have gone platinum on one bookshelf, which is now, I guess, just Roll 20 now, I guess. I don't know. I guess things happen there. They formed an alliance. But we like what you've done. It seems like you're very popular, so I'd like to send out this offer to you to write something for Wizards of the Coast, and we can put out an official product, Mike, your name on it, and we could use some of your, because we see that you're hitting it out of the park. And think about that. If Wizards of the Coast / Hasbro had done that kind of approach, reached out to people who are already creating good content and recruiting them to start making content for them directly. I mean, I don't think it's a no-brainer, because the people that they've recruited to do their last bits of content creating have not been good. Let's face it, I think Hasbro, the noobs that are in there, the new gem cutters, as I'm continuing with this analogy, that have a hold of this diamond, see that the profits have fallen off. Well, one, you've put out shitty products. Look at the products you put out. Look at that. Look inside first before you start blaming everybody on the outside. It's not our fault that some people aren't, or that people aren't buying your product. You got shitty fucking products the last few times. They're lousy. And I say that with confidence, because I'm not one, I don't like making comments on things unless I've read them. I've read their Candle Mysteries Keep, and I know that wasn't the latest one, but like, what was that? Radiant Citadel. And then there was another one. Oh, I didn't. Well, I got to say, I didn't read the Spelljammer. Everybody read that and said it was crap. I mean, if you've got a spacefaring thing and you have new rules about spaceships, well, you've jacked that up. Who's the freaking moron who did that? You know that they're thinking they're stupid right now. They're very stupid. And they can't continue doing like this, or they are going to lose everything. And in my personal opinion, is I don't really care. The only thing I care about is they keep this license open enough that my friends, those third-party publishers, these small publishers, can continue making stuff and selling it in whatever capacity that is. I don't want them to lose that. Like, Glenn Seal, Doug Cole, to name a few, even my friend, Rob Conley, and Eric was putting out stuff for his Continual Light. But just to everybody have that ability to put out what they want without being hindered by some fucking stupid corporate assholes who know absolutely nothing about our game and why it exists and why it thrives. Get people in there that do, and then you'll be able to make that money. You'll be able to take this online content. My God, if they would have just like kind of, got the VTT guys, got Roll 20, got Fantasy, what is it? What's the other one? Fantasy Grounds. Good grief, I only played on that thing forever. And what other popular one said, huddle up, come on, got. Here's what we want to do. This is what we want to do. Can your VTTs handle what we're going to do? And go forward with it. Make contracts. Have them do that. Have them encourage other people to make this content. But then have Wizards of the Coast make their official content. Because think about it. They could double dip on shit, for crying out loud. And maybe improve some stuff. Let's take the Curse of Strahd. I don't know how you put that in a VTT. I have no clue, but I'm sure there's people out there who would definitely be able to nail that. They take the VTT of Curse of Strahd and be able to make that in a visual format, and then they could sell that module in a VTT. I can't imagine how expensive that would freaking be, because you know how long those damn adventures are. So I think it would be expensive in the beginning, but maybe they could do one in the beginning that was a low price entry, kind of like, here's a taste of it, now if you want more, here we go. And then buy the miniatures that would go with it, the virtual miniatures that would be custom made to fit the characters that are within there. People are going to buy that shit. They're going to be able to microtransaction that stuff. They're going to be able to fleece us gamers, because we are collectors, we are addicts. We will we will buy shit we don't need, but we just want. There's, you know, because there's no need in gaming. We have, none of us will ever, any gamers out there right now, big message to you, even if you already know it, you don't need anything else to play the game. Whatever you have right now, you have everything. You got some rule sets. You got a pencil. You got some dice. You got online stuff right now. Go. Think something up. You don't need anything. So you don't need Wizards of the Coast. You don't need, Pazio. You don't need Kobold Press or any of those guys. I'm not saying they're evil or bad or anything. I'm just saying we have enough gaming stuff. We just need one rule book. I mean, and you can go. You don't need anything else. You can do this. Wouldn't it be nice to have the Wizards of the Coast that invited us in to the process, invited us to take part of it, and the ones that are exceptionally well, join their team, make us content. We're going to focus on virtual content. Maybe you have some good ideas. Let's see what you got. We'll contract you into this, and then, you know, be able to sell that with your, you know, with your name on it. You know, Wizards of the Coast presents Jim, who made this. Maybe he made a really cool adventure. Jim made a cool adventure. They made they get contracted to sell it by like a hard copy, but then a virtual copy that can be played with all the doodads and shit on it on the virtual tabletop, and then you could buy, I don't know, some extra stuff from it for whatever, because that's what us gamers do. We just do that because we think it's cool. But no, they wanted to put a strength. They put their boots on our necks and are threatening us in that. I know they're backing away from it, but you can't punch people in the face and then back off and say, I didn't mean to do that. No, you can't do that. We're still bleeding from it. I'm not going to get in arm's reach of you anymore. You just punched me in the face. Why the fuck would I get close enough for you to do it again? I got some other friends I can deal with. I got other folks, other companies I trust that are willing to work with me to get this. They're not going to sucker punch me when I'm not looking because they want more money. Why I ended up talking about this much longer than I expected. But what I plan to do is just move forward without any OGL nonsense. I don't care what they come up with. There's Creative Commons licenses out there. They're working on Orc. I don't know what that's gonna tell. And I don't even want to get into the morality clauses that they're trying to put on bullshit. No. You don't get to determine what I think is vile. There's some dumbass shit out there that's, you know, just made to get attention. They're shitty products. But people will buy them because they're vile, or they stay away from them from their vile. But if Wizards of the Coast or some, you know, authority says they're not any good, it'll be back in the fucking 80s when they put those stupid stickers on anything. And the Two Live Crew were, I think, from what I remember, were the first album that got the sticker on them for parental advisory sticker on it. Well, that just made everybody buy it. It became like one of the top selling albums of the year. And it wasn't good. But because they decided it was bad, of course it attracted attention. They wanted to, why is this bad? Why is it horrible? Why, you know, I want to see this. And so they bought it up. So they made them very popular. It's going to be the same thing. Wizards of the Coast, if they decide to put a morality clause on everything and they say, well, you know, you aren't in our acceptable range, you know, range of stuff because you did this that we didn't like. What do you think is going to happen? There's just going to become a black market for it, and it might be a disgusting thing. You know, and you know, all the details, we all have our, you know, levels of entry of being disgusted and what those things are. But we don't need to be told what they are. Well, each of us has to be responsible enough. And then if you're a parent, then you have to be, you're the only one that has the authority to tell your kids, I am the parental advisor, and I say, no, put you in a headlock if you get it. But we don't need companies, especially fucking Hasbro, telling us what is good, what is right, what is acceptable and what isn't. No, no, no. Any morality clause in anything, just put a lighter to it and burn it. Don't even look at the ashes. Just walk away from it because it's bullshit. I can't tell you how much I hate censorship. I just freaking hate it, whether it's from the left or from the right. That's the funny thing these days. Back when I was a kid, all the censorship was coming from, you know, the, when I say left and right, political sides. So it was coming from the religious right, real conservative. They wanted, you know, don't want rock and roll, don't want Dungeons and Dragons, don't want you to read Tom Sawyer. It's bad books, bad, you know, bad music. It makes kids commit suicide. No, it doesn't. But now the strange thing is now it's the left side that is just as zealous on trying to censor what is culturally appropriate when they're just as big as fucking idiots as the right side. And I'm sorry, I'm swearing so much in this podcast, but it is, I think it's important. And I'm not saying that you guys don't understand. I apologize for preaching. I am. Yeah, I know it's horrible. I do apologize for that. But I can't stand when people tell me what is appropriate for me to digest, whether it's through my ears or through my eyes or whatever. No, you can't read that. It's bad. No, you can't listen to that. You can't, because it's bad. Fuck you. I'll decide. I don't need your advice. I don't need your opinion. And so Wizards of the Coast, no matter what they do, they need to drop that. And we can all make our own decisions. We have to. I mean, that's the only thing. And from both sides, whether it's left or right, you're always going to get the extreme idiots that are going to just be, when you're that far into your extremism, there's no thinking going on. It's just reaction and rage. Critical thinking is out the window. You don't have the ability to process. So if you can't think, then why, you can't judge anything. You can't process anything. And those who can think understand people can make their own decisions. So there you have it, guys. I'm sorry. I'm getting off my pulpit, my soapbox. I'm standing in a lot of boxes today. I guess I haven't done anything in a while. So, all right, guys. That's where I'm at in this OGL rant. So, hopefully, whoever's listening, I'm hoping the impact on you is minimal. I really do. I hope you're not worried about it. I hope you're not threatening about it. I hope good things can come of this. I think it will. Sometimes you got to raise the field to make the ground fertile again. And I think that's what's happening right now. And I'm willing to start my own crop. Now I'm going to crops. Jeez. I went from gem cutting to a farmer. How you like that? All right, guys. I gotta end it there. Whew. All right, guys, on to something a little lighter. I'm going to do one of my famous unboxings. Joe, get ready. Hopefully nothing's broke. So before me, I have it's actually a heavy box. Like I said, I kind of spent too much money on gaming stuff this time. From Amazon, I went Amazon with this one. Open the damn thing up and look at all the boxes or all the books that I got. The funny thing is they actually all sent it in one box, which they rarely do. Pack like shit, typical. Just everything's in it. So, but I'm going to start pulling out books. The first sets of books I'm going to be pulling out is for the basic RPG game. I'm balancing my phone on my knee, so if it drops, you know why. I ended up getting, they have some new products out there, guys. This is the basic, you know, RPG. I have everything. I mean, everything's like $4 for crying out loud. You can buy like all 20 of their books or how many there are for like, I think, you know, $20 or close to it. It's so affordable. It's just ridiculous. You just have to buy them because they're so affordable. The one I bought, the first one I pulled out is the Dark Temple Basic Fantasy Contest Series Adventure Collection 2. So I didn't even know they had a collection adventure. So I'm going to assume that it's a collection introduction. The Dark Temple is the second adventure multi-module in the Basic Fantasy Contest Series, like the original adventure series Castle by the Sea, which I have. The work consists of a set of adventures, all written to use the same set of dungeon maps. The adventures are compact, most being playable in full in 1 to 3 sessions. That's what I like. I like short adventures. I just think they're... I don't know. I always like them. The epic adventures are fun when you have more epic stuff to go on, but the short adventures I think are helpful. Now, with typical basic fantasy stuff, you're not going to get a lot of artwork, and the artwork you're going to get is kind of light, kind of black and white art scale, okay level. I like it. It's, you know, because it just reminds me of my old, you know, the old times, you know, the old stuff. So I'm definitely more forgiving with artwork. But yeah, it's in the, you really know you're into the basic fantasy when you get into the stats of the monster, and they have the boxes for the hit points for each monster there. So you got 5 giant rats. So it's got one rat with, or 2 rats with 4 hit points. So they have 4 boxes next to it, so you can tick off their hit points, 3 and 2 and 1. It's just fun. I love that. It's just, it's great. It just reminds me of the old days, with the way we used to make adventures. We would put the tick boxes next to them to count off their hit points. The other one I got from Basic Fantasy is the Adventure Anthology number 2, which would lend to itself. It does have a number 1, and I can't remember how many was in the first one. There was probably like, I think 10. Maybe not that many. I can't remember now. This one has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15 adventures in it. Wow. So, good size one, too. Good clean maps. Wow. Nice maps here. And then, and their artwork has actually stepped up a little bit in this one, too. They've done a nice job. They upgraded this one. But again, Basic Fantasy. This one, guess what's in the back of this one? Open gaming license. I won't get into that. but yeah, I mean, if guys, get on Amazon. So you've got, like, I think the new ones I found this time were the Dark Temple, the second adventure anthology, and then this one here, which is the Iron Falcon Handbook of Monsters. Now, the Iron Falcon is another game system. I think they've only got the rule book out. And then they have another supplement, or it's an adventure out. So there's only really 3 books out for Iron Falcon. And I have those. And again, it's pretty pricey. This is the most priciest book I got from them, and it was like $9, $10 or something like that. So this is exactly what you would expect. Handbook of Monsters. It's a monster manual. Some of my favorites. Art is minimal, but that's okay. I don't need to know what, you know, an Amber Golem looks like. I don't need to know what maybe I do need to know what an Oculus Abyssi looks like. What the hell is that? Aquatic species able to breathe equally well in the air and underwater, while able to fly. As do other oculi, they're faster, more maneuverable underwater. Maybe it's one of those, like, beholders that's underwater kind of thing. Although you can't see beholders because that's not an SRD. No. Hasbro is going to shut me down. Yeah, I know. My sarcasm is still there. But it's got some of your basic monster. Rock Grub. Hey, Joe, Rock Grub. I'm going to say it again. Rock Grub, Rock Grub. Eric, Rock Grub. People who think Rock Grubs are stupid monsters. Yeah, they're just wussies who don't like to play a real man's game. That's all. Anyways, it's a good collection. I mean, it's a pretty thick book. So it looks like they're averaging three, four monsters on each page. And we're talking about 100 and... Let's see. Oh, even got some city encounters in the back. Oh, cool. They got some counter tables. I forgot to do that. 154 pages, so you're probably talking over 400, or close to 400 monsters, if not over 400 monsters in here statted up. Which I'm I was talking about addiction. I'm definitely have an addiction for monster manuals, because I will buy them even though I don't play the game. Because I love my monster manuals. That's my Cookie Monster voice. I get that from Ivy. That's a trick I learned from her thing. She goes into her Cookie Monster voice. I go for more of the direct Cookie Monster voice. Yeah, so those three things. And like I said, very affordable. Very affordable. Oh, almost bent the cover. No complaints on the condition, how they came out. And they're all paperback. But they're pretty well put together. Now, this one I bought, and it was a pretty good price, actually. I don't remember what it was. Boy, this thing's heavy. Holy crap. So I ended up, I don't know how to say the name. It's just, I think it's Swedish, the Zwillhander. You know what? I'm going to be right back, because I'm going to figure out how to say this. Swayhander. Swayhander. That's what that little YouTube thing kept on saying. Swayhander. So it's kind of a fantasy / horror game. I'm sure everybody's seen them. I don't have the big rule book for it. You know, I've seen it around. Looks very cool. But they have a starter set. And I it was a really good price. So I thought, you know, I definitely want to take a look at that. My God, guys, it's loaded with stuff. I mean, it's heavy. I'm not going to open it in the car, because then shit's going to get everywhere and I don't want to get anything dirty, because I like keeping my stuff clean. So it says everything you need to play in a beginner friendly box. Swayhander is an award-winning cooperative storytelling game set in a medieval fantasy world. It teaches starting gamers how to create their own fantasy characters who embark on adventures filled with intrigue, mystery, and supernatural horror. Well, that sounds cool. So it has one rule book for creating characters, one rule book for running the game. Secrets of Swayze. Zway? I don't know. I can't pronounce. Feature length adventure. 6 high quality polyhedral dice. Oh, they gave me dice. Looks like regular dice, or is it just 6-sided? I can't tell. I don't know. It looks like regular dice. It even comes with a Game Master screen, folding art poster, and village map. And the village map looks kind of cool. It's kind of got that isometric view of a village. So it's got like some 3D effect looking to it. 13 character profession folios. 9 fortune and misfortune tokens. 18 sliding condition trackers. What the hell is a sliding condition tracker? It has a picture on the back here, and I'm just looking. I don't see a sliding condition tracker on it. That doesn't matter. 18 sliding and 72 clue, injury, and spell cards. Holy crap, that's a lot. So it looks like you get. I don't remember how much it was. I don't think it has a packing slip in here. Why would it have that, huh? It doesn't. All right. It amazes me, you know. Anyways. But it looks like a pretty good, you know, a high-value box set. All right, and the last thing I bought, and really this is the thing that set me off from buying this stuff. Oh my god, it's got shit all over it. Son of a bitch. Maybe it'll clean off. It looks like somebody freaking ate chicken wings and handled this book. Anyways, it's for Swayhunda, powered by, it's Blackbirds. Now this is, I think it's a setting, I don't know too much about it. I saw this at Barnes & Noble's and I was flipping through it and then I did a little research on it. Oh, this is really cool. It's a big freaking heavy book. If you know what Swayhunda, it's the original book looks like. This is kind of the equivalent in size, I'm guessing. This is like 700 and some pages, close to 700 pages. But as it was explained to it, it's all a single book that has all three books in there. This is your player's manual. This is your GM's guide. And this is your monster manual, all in one book. I think you can buy it in the stores for $75 and on Amazon, it's $45. So it's a significant difference. So that's why I ended up. Usually if it's around a $10 difference, I will just go for the one in store. But when you're talking about a $30, basically that extra $30 paid for almost everything else that's in this box. So sometimes, even though I try to buy local, sometimes it's just, unfortunately, it's so affordable to buy on Amazon. Oh, it's got these ribbons in there too, like three ribbons, a yellow, black, and red ribbon. Now, I'll kind of go over what it's about. I thought it was an interesting premise. I don't know, does it have something on the back? So the world hangs in the thread of fate to serve this golden, to sever this golden cord is to plunge all of creation into chaos. Almost sounds like the OGL. A world without gods or their justice, where rebirth is the only possible salvation. And to be reborn, one must die. So Blackbird's RPG is set in a fantasy world where a cabal of powerful, hungry oligarchs has stolen godhood. Their horrific act rent the fabric of reality, allowing corrupt magic to undermine the world's natural order. And soon the oligarchs themselves will return to their mortal plane and remake it as they desire. Wow, is that, if that's not a weird analogy of Hasbro, if I ever heard one. But it interests me. The premise of it interests me. So it is a big book, and it looks like, you know, it's your typical well put together big book, nice artwork. Looks like the layout's pretty clean. The Whispering Grimoire. The Court of Ignorance. Court of Joy, Court of Peace. So yeah, so this is definitely a setting type book. And I like that. I like to kind of see what some of the, what the flavor is of a game. Because I don't know anything about the original Swayhunda book. So I was really interested in seeing how, maybe if I like this enough, I will get the actual original. I don't know. Because it's a big book. I don't know how expensive it is. So guys, that's my unboxing. One of my infamous unboxings. I think I probably was one of the first dumbasses to start that on a podcast. There you have it. So, all right, guys, as always, thank you for listening. I appreciate it if you made it this far. This was one of my longer podcasts. I would like to say I'm hoping to do this more regularly, but I have no idea whether I will or not. I always think I always have the idea or the intention of becoming more regular with podcasts or fucking anything I do, actually. But I don't want to promise that and then not do it or whatever. So So hopefully next time I'll talk to you, I can update you on progress on my Kickstarter, maybe share some few things on there, maybe update you on how things are going with the Zoe Honda. I think that's I'm gonna have to pronounce, do it if you get on that YouTube thing. They actually have a YouTube page that the YouTube voice keeps on saying it over and over for a minute. I might need to go on there a few times and just practice. Get some of those Swedish words. Make my buddy Jim Mangston. I haven't talked to Jim in forever. Proud. I could talk to him in his own native language. That would be kind of fun. But all right, guys. Take care. Roll better than me. We'll talk soon.